During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name's Steven. Yeah. There's Nate.
Hello.
Jake's here, too. And Connell, the Irish intern, who wants a scrap with someone right now. Let's talk to Gabe DeArmond about the Missouri Tigers, if you please.
Missouri!
Hello there, Gabe. How are you?
Not bad, guys. What's going on?
Oh, football and radio. A wonderful marriage.
Awesome.
Now, let's talk football. The Missouri Tigers coming off of a bye week. And coming off of their last game that was not very good, and Barry Odom had his turnaround speech, as it will be known moving forward. And now they have this game at Kentucky. Kentucky has been in four consecutive close games. They lost a heartbreaker to Florida, but they've also played down to the competition a couple of times this year. For me, I think that Missouri needs to really show something. They need to be competitive against this football team. I'm not saying they need to win it, but they need to show some progress. They need to show on the football field that Barry Odom still has a handle on this football team. Or I think after that, they go to Georgia, things are going to go straight to hell even faster than they are right now. How important is it for Missouri to look like a well-coached football team that is prepared for Kentucky?
Yeah, I really am going to Lexington to get the answer to one question, and that is, has Missouri quit? And I think we're going to know by halftime of this game because, like you said, Kentucky has played five games. They've all been within 11 points. I mean, they could have lost to Eastern Michigan. They could have lost to Eastern Kentucky. You know, the Southern Miss game was close. So if Missouri is out of this game by halftime, if it looks like Purdue and Auburn, then I've got my answer. This team's quit. He's lost the locker room, and it is going to be a dreadful 8 weeks around here. And like you say, maybe they don't necessarily have to win, but if they want a chance to really make anything out of this season, they do. Because, I mean, moral victories at Kentucky, that's not a thing. That shouldn't be a thing for Missouri football. You know, yeah, playing close and all that, yeah, it'll show signs of progress, but if you want any chance to win like five or six games, like this has to be a win because otherwise, like you said, you go to Georgia, you're going to lose that one. So you'd come home at 1-5. Florida doesn't look like a team that I would expect Missouri to beat. So you pretty much got to beat everybody else to have any chance at six. And I know everybody has mostly given up on any chance at six, but if you want to kind of keep that out there as possible, you got to win this game.
And if they somehow were to pull the upset against Kentucky, which should not be beyond the realm of possibility, we shouldn't be talking like this is impossible. They've still got games right against UConn and Idaho, and they could turn things around enough to win six games, but they got to show something. This is it. They have to go down and show that they, like you said, have not quit on Barry Odom.
Look at this schedule, and this is what we've talked about all year. UConn's not good. Idaho's not good. Kentucky's decent, I'd say. You know, Florida's, I don't think Florida's great, but, man, they keep winning. At some point, Jim McElwain deserves some credit. But Arkansas, Tennessee, these aren't great teams. This is there's a lot of middling teams on this schedule. That said, they all have looked a whole lot better than Missouri so far.
Now, Missouri did not lose a game in the bye week, but they did lose a wide receiver. Demetrius Mason, no longer with the team. What happened there?
Well, my understanding is, you know, the violation of team rules, whatever that rule was. But my understanding is he wouldn't have been kicked off for the violation of the rule. It was the reaction after that. You know, he didn't take to his disciplinary action very well and was dismissed from the program. So next man up, Emmanuel Hall's in the starting lineup. I mean, I see both sides of this. Number one is if Emmanuel Hall was better than Demetrius Mason, he likely would have been starting already. But by the same token, I'm not sure there's anybody any one player on this team outside of Demaryius Crockett that you would lose and say, well, that really hurts them. I mean, how much worse are they going to be?
And I'll just make a note here, because I'm not comparing this to the Kim Anderson thing, but it was one thing when Kim Anderson was running off players that he didn't recruit. Then when he starts having problems with players he recruited, that was a red flag. you let it be known that this is a Barry Odom recruit. This isn't one of the guys that wasn't buying in. This is a guy that he recruited now that he's kicked off. And I always think that is it's important to make that note when we're looking at these different players.
And a guy he was starting for a year and a half.
Right.
So what's your prediction in this game?
I mean, I picked Kentucky 30-20 because Kentucky doesn't look like a team to me that really blows anybody out. But by the same token, Missouri doesn't look like a team that really beats anybody. So I picked Kentucky by 10. I think that's about what the number is right now. But I don't think we can discount, 45-7. I mean, if that happens, hey, we have every answer we need.
I think I'm assuming you're not predicting 45-7 in favor of Missouri.
What?
I am not. Okay. I think that is relatively unlikely.
Gabe, just after the game, I'll see you in the Tigers' lair at PowerMizzou.com. It's been fun there,
Yeah, that's my favorite part of Saturday.
Gabe DeArmon, we appreciate you.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Message board fun for all, really.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's say hello to Stan Weber.
Kansas State.
Hello there, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you guys.
Stan Weber, it's always good to talk to you. And Stan, this is a game that I always look forward to watching, K-State and Texas. Once again, you never really know what to expect from Texas and what they are and who they are. And now with Tom Herman as the head coach, he's already felt some heat down there in Austin. But what do you think of Texas? You've looked maybe at some games and they look terrible. Other games, they're pretty good. What's your opinion so far of what you've seen from the Longhorns?
Well, my opinion now is that we just got to throw out the first game against Maryland, and not just because it's a loss and you're trying to build up Texas. That game was 51-41. All kinds of craziness and offense. Looked like modern football, Big 12 style. And Texas lost at home. So a lot of disappointment right away and people writing off the season. And here we go again. Charlie Strong had three years of losing records in a row and all that kind of stuff. But since then, they've found themselves to be, I think, what Tom Herman wants to be. And that's going to be very solid on the defensive side. Opportunistic, create turnovers, don't make mistakes, be patient on the offensive side. And so they flipped completely to the opposite of what you saw in the Maryland game. They're playing at low-scoring games, very good defense, playing with a lot of athleticism, moving people on the defensive side, and talking to him this week, that's exactly what he wants. It's not just, this is what I'm doing this year because I've got the talent and these are players that I didn't recruit. He really wants to play with that style. Remember, he grew up under Urban Meyer as offensive coordinator, winning a national championship there when Ezekiel Elliott and the guys were there. Then went on to Houston to be the head coach for 2 years. So he is not looking to spread things out and score all over the place like we saw with Baylor football. It's a defensive style. They're very willing to play a game 21-17 or something like that. So they've really found themselves. How good are they going to be? It really relies on the offense because so far the defense has been rock solid, put them in positions to score, and they've been playing very conservatively on offense. So how will that turn out? That's a big question. How good will the offense be for Texas?
I think another good question, a big question for K-State, is in the passing game, Stan. And I know it was a big win against Baylor last weekend, but a disturbing trend has developed for the K-State receivers. 6 drops against Vanderbilt, followed by 4 drops against Baylor. And I think all of us were expecting a huge season from Byron Pringle. Didn't make a catch in this game against Baylor. I know that's not something that sits well with Bill Snyder when his players don't execute. It's 2 games. How much of a concern is this overall, and how much is something that can be fixed by the K-State wide receivers?
It's definitely a concern anytime you go through it. And when you have 2 games where your receivers aren't playing to their full potential, that's a big hunk of the season. I listen to you guys a lot in the morning, and I remember you guys talking about Eric Hosmer and how he was hitting early in the year. And you keep saying, well, the averages are going to play out. And, in baseball, look at the back of the baseball card at the end of the year, they're going to have a good year. I think, and Eric Hosmer did, obviously. I think you have to believe that. Byron Pringle proved himself last year. I mean, athletically and everything else, he has all the potential in the world to be a good player. But he proved it on the field. And he was a dominant factor at the end of last year. So the fact that he has 6 catches or so this whole year and didn't have one against Baylor, that may make you take pause and say, well, I expected it to just come out and be as hot as he was at the end of the last year. But I do think there's something learned from that baseball analogy that I think he'll come back and play well. And at the end of the year, I think Byron Pringle will be counted on, and the receiving core of K-State will be fine. When does it happen, though? When does that button get pushed? That's what makes you wonder, because they're playing tomorrow. So how do they play? How much confidence do they have? Do they drop balls? K-State's going to have some efficiency in the passing game to beat Texas, because they're athletic. They are so big and strong on the front line. They're going to stuff the run. I mean, they held Iowa State to 10 yards rushing in the last game. So you're going to have balance in the offense and pass the ball to have a chance to beat Texas. And should K-State bounce back from where they were the last two games? Obviously, I'd expect somewhat of a bounce back. But are they going to be hot, lethal, efficient, all those things? That's still a big question. And where K-State plays in the passing game is a big question of how this game will come out.
You know, and that's what I was going to ask you about the Texas defense, because as you mentioned, 51 points in the first game to Maryland, but then a shutout, and then I think most people would accept only giving up 27 to USC, and then 7 points to ISU and shutting down their run game. And so it appears that this defense, after just looking brutal in that first game, they're playing up to their capabilities defensively.
Yeah, and you have to look at that USC game. Remember, it's double overtime, and you know how many points you score in overtime. So they basically held teams to around 14 to 17 points game after game. After the first one, it's such an aberration. They looked out of position, slow, indecisive. They looked like a bad Big 12 defense, giving up 51 to Maryland. And they were chasing those guys all over the field. It was legitimate. Maryland was better than Texas. And I was saying, wow, Tom Herman's going to have a little bit of a learning curve here in the Big 12. That's good for the rest of the conference. But you just got to throw that tape out. I mean, I didn't spend 5 seconds watching Maryland. I've been watching the other games because they've forgotten that, like a snake, you know, ridding themselves of a skin. Forget what they did against Maryland. They're solid. They're turning people over. They have 7 interceptions already. They're returning interceptions for touchdowns back. They have, you know, five non-offensive touchdowns already. And last year they had 0. So this is a team that's opportunistic and really leveraging off of their defense and telling their offense, don't make mistakes. But the other side of it is they haven't made big plays. K-State just finished with Baylor, who's lethal, with touchdowns of 70 yards or more than anybody in the country. They added 2 more against K-State. It's unbelievable. Texas does not have an offensive play of 50 yards yet this year. 48 yards is the biggest play. So you're going into a new realm where they're going to just try to avoid mistakes, lean on their defense, and hope you make mistakes before they do.
All right, Stan, we're out of time. What's the score going to be?
I'm going to say 23-20. K-State, coach and quarterback, better than talent and home field advantage, barely. Time for K-State to turn it on. They have more upside potential. They may not play well enough to win, but at some point they're going to be better than Texas. Let's just hope it's tomorrow. 23-20, Cats.
I'll take it. I agree with you. Stan, thank you for the time.
Okay, thanks, guys.
To John Kirby from Jayhawksland.com.
Kansas!
Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, good, Stephen. How are you?
Doing very well. Okay, when looking at a recipe for an upset, number one, I just feel like Texas Tech has a couple of games every year where they're just either not ready or their defense doesn't show up, and they can be had. Number two, as Nate has pointed out many times, the 11 a.m. kickoff on the road, sometimes you'll get a team that can maybe sleepwalk through the first half and they can be vulnerable. And I feel like we did see some things from Kansas in their last game against West Virginia that suggests that they've maybe taken a step forward. And so there certainly are some factors here that lead us to believe that this could be an opportunity for Kansas to pull the upset. What do you think?
You know, Stephen, it is there. And Texas Tech and Kansas, for whatever reason, they always play strange football games against each other, whether it's in Lawrence or Lubbock. There's been some wild ones over the last 10 years those two teams have played. So I don't know what it is with that rivalry, but you can always expect what you don't expect. So the key, Stephen, is they've got to find a way to start out a football game where they don't fall behind 17 points. Okay, Kansas isn't good enough to fall behind 17 points and make that up. they almost did against West Virginia. They got it to within one score going into the fourth quarter there. But I really believe for their confidence and just the way they're trying to get this thing built, a homecoming game, they've got to find a way to come out and slug Texas Tech early. And I'm not even talking about take the lead. I'm just talking about keep it within three or keep it tied up. Something in there that gives those kids confidence as the game progresses.
Do they need to run the football? I know that David Beatty came in and said, we're gonna throw it all over the place. We're going to do the air raid offense. But, man, Herbert had a huge day against West Virginia. If that's the strength of the team, particularly against another air raid type team, is that something they're just going to have to rely on more in the short term?
Well, they would absolutely do it, Nate. I mean, they're not, just because they're an air raid team doesn't mean that they're just going to be hell-bent on always throwing the football all over the yard. I talked to Doug Meacham yesterday for a little bit. And you got to understand his background, too. You know, he came from Oklahoma State where they've had some good running backs and some good running games. And, you know, he's a former offensive lineman himself. So, you know, Doug Meacham's going to do whatever he can to win a football game. And if that means running the ball more than it does throwing it, if they can chew clock, you know, keep possessions, run more snaps, keep the defense off the field, which would help KU a lot in that situation, then that's what they'll do. And when I talked to him last night, you know, something he was interesting, I said, what does Texas Tech look like defensively? He goes, just like West Virginia. I said, really, are they a 3-3-5? He said, well, they're not exactly a 3-3-5, but they're a three-man front with a lot of the same principles. So I didn't have to ask much more than that to know that, hey, if they ran the ball well against West Virginia and Texas Tech comes out in a lot of the same alignments and formations, then my guess is you're going to see the ball, you know, they're going to give the running game a chance tomorrow for sure.
So it's interesting, JK, because my memory of that K-State or that KU-Texas Tech game from last year was the KU went down there and played tough and knocked Pat Mahomes out of the game and, you know, and it was a close game. Well, KU gave up 621 yards of offense and two different quarterbacks threw four touchdowns in that game for Texas Tech. How does KU slow down the Texas Tech offense this time around?
Well, I don't know if you really do, and I don't know if anybody has. You know, I mean, Texas Tech's one of the top four scoring offenses in the country. And, you know, when I talked to Clint Bowen yesterday, he was very complimentary of Cliff Kingsbury because I asked him, how close does this offense look to what they've always done the last year and the previous year? And Clint Bowen said, this one's different. He said, Texas Tech does some things differently on offense than they've done lately because the personnel has changed. So he says, you know, they're getting the ball to their playmakers in space quicker. They're letting those guys make their, you know, make the moves and do some things in the open field. So I think the big thing with Kansas is tomorrow is Texas Tech will get the ball to their playmakers, and they've got several of them. And Kansas has to find a way to wrap up and tackle and not give up those 15, 20 yards after a catch that Texas Tech's been so good at this year.
All right, John, what's the score going to be?
Yeah, Stephen, I think Texas Tech's just got too much offense. I'm going to say Texas Tech 45, Kansas 35.
Thank you, John Kirby.
See you guys.
This is John Kirby from JLXLand.com. That's your Border Patrol Blitz. Coming up next, we'll talk to the Chiefs rookie kicker, one of the heroes from Monday Night Football, Harrison Butker, buttkicker.com, up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.